Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan on perhaps the most unique Cowboys Monday in the history of the franchise, or at least for a really, really, really long time. Right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Mickey, what am I supposed to make of all of this?
Well, you know, when I was leaving the press box to go down to the field, I guess they're was two ways to look at it. People in the elevator were all Packer fans, and they were bemoaning, and one guy goes, well, look at it this way. At least it wasn't a loss. And then I'm thinking, and then on the Cowboys, and they were relieved, right? And then I'm looking in the Cowboys' side, and it's like, well, they're really disappointed because they didn't win.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of summed up the feelings probably from both teams that, you know, the Cowboys won the game, what, three times?
Yep.
And then didn't win in the end. And,
yeah.
I think there was a lot of disappointment. You could see it on Brian Schottenheimer's face, you know, when he came in and, you know, he tried to, you know, put on a sort of a happy face that he was proud of the guys, how hard they fought and continued to fight no matter what was going wrong, and, you know, managed to, you know, hang in there. But, nobody likes a tie. And I think that probably summed up the feeling in the locker room afterwards.
Did you get a reasoning on why they decided on the field goal in overtime instead of maybe trying to go for it?
On fourth down?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think at that point, you know, you had to do what you can do to at least take the lead, right?
Okay.
I think that, you know, the way the defense was playing, you know, if you failed, where were you at? The 4-yard line, I think it was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. They had confidence that they could stop a 50-yard drive
to get
right,
a field
before
goal.
They get yeah. a field goal.
Devil's advocate on that, do you think it would have been right to have confidence in them that they could have stopped a touchdown?
Well, no. I see what you're saying. Well, maybe they should have because they did.
They did. No, you're right. But I guess that was my feeling in the moment, and I don't want to change my opinion based on the result, because like that that feels really lazy. I wanted them to go for it just because, and I totally understand your point about getting points. At that point, I guess I did not have any confidence in the defense to prevent a touchdown.
Right. Well, I see what you're saying. But you know, if you didn't get it, then you know
you were going to lose.
Like,
yeah,
you're
for
gonna
sure.
Lose,
I agree.
Right.
Yes.
Even if because what it, did they? I was going to count it up here. 1, 2, 3, 4. They scored on 5 consecutive possessions.
Yikes.
In the second half. But you know what? The Cowboys scored on 5, 6 consecutive, 5 of 6 consecutive possessions from the second quarter on.
Look.
So, but I think, you know, you probably got a feeling that they were at the 5-yard line and they ran 3 plays and really didn't come close to scoring.
It was pretty clunky.
Right?
It
was like, oh, you're first in goal at the 5, right? And they couldn't get it in. And that probably didn't give you confidence that, well, we're 0 for 3. We're going to go 1 for 4.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that was probably the prudent thing to do.
Just because I want it to work doesn't mean it's magically yeah, going to be more effective. Yeah.
That's pretty good. I like that.
The George Pickens, the confidence that Dak got in him last night, how much did that grow?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think he had confidence in him the whole time. I think a lot of other people might not have had confidence in him to be able to step up and play the you know, that was the Bartart. You know, you could sit here and go, well, we didn't have Cooper Beebe. We didn't have Tyler Booker. We didn't have CeeDee Lamb on offense. We had part of Trayvon Diggs out there. And you sit there, and then you lost Malik Hooker during the game,
right?
Second quarter, I think it was. And you're sitting there going, but you know what? I had Dak Prescott, and I had George Pickens, and I had Javonte Williams and Kevontae Turpin. And, hey, remember Jalen Tolbert? You know, and they had these other guys that stepped up. T.J. Bass, you didn't hear his name much at all.
Which Brock is usually Hoffman. A good thing. Yeah.
Right, because they, you know, I think one time Bass might have whiffed on something. But they didn't get a sack until overtime.
And that was and a then questionable you lost, sack.
Yeah, and, you know, no yards. And, you know, it's like the play broke down and you're kind of running for your life to get out of there. And then they lost Tyler Guyton in overtime.
Yeah.
And now you got Nate Thomas in there. So think about the young guys that had to step up. Leofau gets a start. They kept Shamar James active, and all of a sudden Murray gets hurt, and you got a rookie in there that hadn't played.
Right.
And that wasn't the plan, you know. And you kind of survived. And it's like, if you look at it this way, you're thinking, okay, not bad, not bad. But again, you know, you didn't win, and you had an opportunity. And there were five times you had the lead, and you couldn't hold it. And so that's the disappointing part.
Yeah.
But they had guys step up and play well. And by God, they scored 40 points again.
Or 41 next time.
Did you
yeah,
see
right.
This?
Well, or at least hold him to 37 with not 1 second to go.
Did you, by the way, and we can talk about that clock operator.
Yeah, what's the deal? This is home field advantage,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, let the refs review if that was a zero or not. I say zero, but to your point about scoring all those points, 70 games in franchise history, the Cowboys have scored at least 40 points. They're now 68-1-1.
68-1-1.
Because the only game other
was it
than
the
this.
The Denver game?
Exactly.
Yeah. 51-48.
That
or
is
something
correct.
Like that.
Very good.
Yeah. And they hadn't had a tie since 1969. Think about that. 1969.
Nice. You
the
think
majority
John
of the people, 90.
Was pumped?
93,000 people in there weren't born.
That is
that's what
a good
I that's what
point.
I was telling my son last night. My son was like, "Hold on, they can tie," and I was like, "I haven't seen one as for the Cowboys ever in my life, so I don't know."
Well, you know, after watching all the college games the day before when he kicked the field goal, it went through my mind. Okay, 2-point conversions now.
Yes.
That's what I was telling Kevin this
That's
morning.
What Corey
like,
said.
Hey, I was kind of curious. There was a moment where I looked up and Nate Thomas is at right tackle and plays Steele.
Yes,
what happened there?
I think they were getting him ready to get some snaps, knowing that pass blocking was going to be ultimately important in this game, and that's really not Terrence Steele's calling card.
Okay.
And I think that they had him ready to go, from what I understand. And so, and it wasn't a just-in-case thing, well, he's the swing tackle, right? Well, there's a guy, hadn't played a game of football since 2023, a legitimate game, and you got him at right tackle, and then you needed him at left tackle.
Yes.
And he got out there, and, you know, he didn't hurt you.
Nope.
So, you know, some of these young guys, Schottenheimer said it after the game. He goes, you know, this is, kind of tells you the type of depth we really do have on this team that you could hang in there against the Green Bay Packers, right? Who were supposed to beat them by 20 points.
Look, you're right. I was afraid of that, and I will admit, Mickey, my worst fears felt like they were coming true after that second touchdown. And I was
it's 13-0, right?
Yeah. And I was like, this is going to be a freaking massacre.
Especially after the first series when they caught the, I don't know, it felt like a 50-yard pass, but right. It was about, 30-some yards or whatever, where they, you know, blew the coverage. There's poor Deron Bland, and he's got – it's 2-on-1.
Yeah.
That should never happen.
And if
that was the time they decided to put Donovan Wilson close to the line of scrimmage, who was going to blitz. And Reedy Stewart, who I thought played a great game, I guess he thought he was in zone, and he let the guy go, and they occupied the single high safety on the other side of the field. And, you know, somebody should have been running with one of those guys, and there's Bland trying to make a play with two guys on him. So, yeah, when that happened, it's like, seriously, not again, right?
Yeah, well, we looked at that play this morning, and, man, it really looked like in the middle of the Cowboys' defense, to your point, there was a whole lot of confusion.
No, they weren't ready for the snap.
No, absolutely. They looked like they were still talking
yes. The
second the ball got snapped.
Yeah, because the linebackers were doing something, I don't know, and Wilson was close to the line of scrimmage. And, yeah, and it's like you almost forget that, right, after it's 40-40. that was the first possession of the game. But it all counts, right? And
yeah.
And just the thing that you had the lead five times and lost it or ended up in a tie, I'm sure that's a bitter pill to swallow.
Absolutely. Now, would you be in favor of our overtime plan now that if it's a tie, you start kicking field goals alternating from 50 yards and keep backing up?
I heard somebody say that. Yeah.
It's a good
plan. Like a hockey shootout.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly like that.
Keep backing up. That's good. Start from 45 and then go from there.
I think we have the advantage there.
Yes.
Don't we?
No, definitely. I don't know.
Their guy was pretty cold on that 53-yard field goal.
That is true. Give me another 10 yards and then I'll pay attention to him. Now,
but think about the last play to tie it up. I mean, the before they kicked the field goal, 1 second to go, right? I thought that play, it seemed like it lasted forever.
Yes.
And I looked up and it said one.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what if the ball hit Sanborn in the back and then just popped up in the air instead of falling straight down?
You know what? We actually have come up with all these preposterous theories of like, or what if it would have ricocheted down and then deflected off his foot again? Then it probably would have gone to zero. If Jordan Love would have sailed that pass at all, it would have gone to zero. They got amazingly lucky on terrible time management at the end there.
Oh, yeah. And that pass should have never been thrown, right?
Agreed.
You know, and they actually got a little pressure on him. And or what if he had turned around, although he's running for his life to get in coverage and, you know, did the job he should have done. What if it didn't hit him in the back? What if
yeah.
it hit him in the neck or the
yeah.
helmet, right?
Yeah.
And the ball pops up in the air. That second disappears. That's how close it was. And that's why you sit there and, you know, you just feel like you lost the game and you didn't tie it. But I guess 1-2-1 is better than 1-3. But it sure didn't feel that way. At the end.
Did you happen to get any chance to talk with Kenny Clark after?
I did not.
Okay, I was kind of curious how he felt after that kind of a game, because essentially it's a wash, the trade now, you know, since it was a tie. So
it was his trade. You know, and he once again played awfully well.
He
saw him, you know, creating pressure and a couple of tackles, a quarterback hit, and a couple pressures that they don't count on the official stats until you get to something else the next day. But, yeah, I thought he was a stud in the middle, although they gave up all those rushing yards.
That is true.
And what happened? It's like that was their calling card, and I know it was overtime, but it was 164 yards rushing.
Yeah.
And that's what really, really hurt. that Jacobs ended up with 86 yards, and the other guy I'd never heard of, sorry, Wilson.
Emmanuel Wilson.
44 yards, right? And it's like, you know, gosh, he needed to do, and the Packers were smart. They kept running the ball. They didn't get totally pass happy, although they did throw the ball 43 times. Dak threw it 40, which was a remarkable performance by him, by the way, without
Agreed.
His number one receiver. And trusting, my goodness, he's trusting Ryan Flournoy, right?
No, it's some big, and, yeah, some big moments.
And the
yeah.
guy had big catches, right?
Dude, that throw that he made to Tolbert was just spectacular. I mean, it was unfortunately he had to roll out and be that far out and everything, but it was an amazing throw.
Yeah, he talked about it afterwards. He goes, you know, I just couldn't get it to the end zone. Well, he was rolling out, throwing off his back foot on the run, right? And that nails him.
And by the way, and props to Tolbert.
Yes.
That catch was amazing as well. Yeah.
I'm sure the Packers were going, oh, he didn't get 2 feet down. And then when they looked at it, oh, yes, he did.
Yeah.
So all these guys did all this stuff. And I don't know that it should give the offense confidence, especially coming after. You know, like, how do you figure, you know, you do that against the Bears and then you come and do this? You know, a week later, walk out of Chicago with one touchdown, and in this game you score, I think it ended up being 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Block a kick that's returned for 2 points, and, you know, and it's like you did all this good stuff, but you didn't win. And that's the hard thing to swallow, I'm sure, in that locker room.
Well, we appreciate it very much. Still a lot more to discuss.
Yeah.
We'll pick it back up with you tomorrow.
All righty. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Mickey Spagnuolo.
Thank you, Mickey.
Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Can I tell you just one more thing about the offense against this defense in particular? So Green Bay became the first team since 1967 to allow fewer than 250 total yards in each of its first 3 games. Now, I know that the game ended up going to overtime, so that adds to the stats some, but the Cowboys, I believe, had 436 yards of offense in this game. And then you go back to how good Green Bay has been in the first half defensively. They had given up only 6 points in the first half all season. And they gave up 14 points in what, like the last 14 seconds of this first half.
Yeah, here's my notes real quick, Kevin, at the very end of the game. With 4:50 left, I thought we left too much time on the clock. This was in the fourth quarter.
Sure.
But because the defense is Swiss cheese, Dobbs gets a third touchdown with 1:45. That might just be enough time for the Cowboys to make something happen. And then the way that it goes. So the Packers defense is also Swiss cheese. Pickens is abusing Valentine. What a huge touchdown. This place is erupting. And it's just, I was thinking, hey, can we get more time off this clock after a 19 play drive?
Yeah.
You know, that resulted in a touchdown, but it was that fourth quarter. This is one of those teams you're going to have to pay attention to, I guess, the entire game because you don't know what could happen.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, I kind of want to try something completely different, if that's okay with you guys. Though we could sprinkle in some Cowboys as well. But the idea, does sports media actually impact the play of the teams it covers? Because we've got Stephen Jones coming up at noon. Jerry's going to be on with Sean and RJ tomorrow. And a future Hall of Famer spoke about this. And so I want to have that conversation with you guys next right here on the
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We've been having some fun, some sadness as well, talking about the Cowboys tie today. Now, we can dive back into that if you want, but
I have a question,
ahead.
Kevin.
Yes.
This is not football-related, but also football-related.
Oh.
Is today the day that you're supposed to get your FIFA notice about World Cup tickets?
Oh, if you did the Visa presale?
Yeah. Is today the day?
Ooh, maybe.
If you got the tickets, let us know. Text us. We'd love to hear from you.
By the way, quick Peace-a-thon update. We will not have World Cup tickets for Peace-a-thon. I've already made that ask, and I was told, quote, these tickets will be harder to get than Super Bowl tickets. So, unfortunately, we do not have any ones to hand out. I could also not convince our point person to buy them for us and just give them to the charity. But might have something World Cup related that you will really like.
Messi?
Okay. Well, you know what, Corey? No.
Spend a day with Messi.
Okay. Shut up.
And Ronaldo.
You know what? You guys,
I like Kevin Walker.
Are
going to
be disappointed
that.
In what we bring to you for Peace-a-thon for the World Cup now. Because it's not spend a day with Messi and Ronaldo. Find out how to cheat on taxes yourself with Messi and Ronaldo.
Playing golf. Wouldn't you rather play soccer with them?
Yes, I would.
Well, tough. You have to play golf with them.
Or go in their money silos. Now, we were going to talk about this last week, but we just didn't have the time. And I thought it was an interesting timing because we got Stephen coming up at noon. Jerry Jones tomorrow morning, as he is every Tuesday, with Sean and RJ. Jason Kelce talked about sports media and the impact it can have on the teams it covers. Not the impact on the fans, because I think we're all aware of that. By the way, shout out to the Tolos. The app is back up and running. You guys got the people to get it fixed ASAP.
You did it. I would
or
say
AP.
Listen on the Odyssey app and the YouTube.
Yes. Agree.
I don't know how that works, but do it.
Yes, I also think you should do that. But what impact does it actually have on the team? Because I want to go ahead and throw out this first cut from Jason Kelce, just so you can get kind of like his mission statement, and we'll go from there.
I'm very pro Philadelphia media being very honest with their sports teams. I think that in general, it pushes a lot of the times the envelope. And I've seen that in the building, that it has an effect on people to make corrections and make change. And I think it's actually one of Philadelphia's media landscape strengths.
All right. So right there, somebody in the building, future Hall of Famer, won Super Bowls. He said, I was in the building with the Philadelphia Eagles and saw the impact that sports media had. So I just want to use that as kind of his mission statement and then give it to you, Corey, and then let the fans talk about it. Frankel, injury attorney, text line 877-881-1053. Because I go back and forth on that, and I think I'm to the point where I don't think it necessarily matters to the Jones family, despite how much we try.
I agree that I don't think it matters to the Jones family. And because it doesn't matter to the Jones family, that's interesting, because Jerry for a long time did make some decisions based on how media swayed him. Because he has ears, right? He has rabbit ears,
right?
Is what we're told a lot of times. But if it doesn't matter to those guys, then the rest of the guys in that building think that it doesn't matter either. So you can't really like be swayed by that if you're a player, because as Jalen Smith once said, if the big man's not worried about it, neither are we. And that was on a day that they right. got flexed out of a big time game because they were so bad.
Is it fair to say that Jerry doesn't care what they say, but as long as they're saying something?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he is either flat out said that or heavily insinuated it. And so we could talk about Jerry, but I wanted to expand it out beyond just that. But no, I agree with that.
Yeah, it's that that's where that starts. So if they don't, then I don't know if the rest of the guys will. But let's say that Brian Schottenheimer was like, you know what? I hear everything that these guys say, and they're right about this, 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 and this. We have to be more accountable to this. The way that you don't get fan reaction to bad things you've done, media reaction to bad things you've done, is be on your P's and Q's. Like, just making sure that you got your stuff taken care of. That way they can't say anything bad about me. Right now, Philadelphia is, what, 4-0?
Yep.
And A.J. Brown's not complaining.
Yeah.
And their offense looks weird, but they're 4-0. Do you think their media is going, hey, they're 4-0? Or do you think they're going, this is the worst? Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, that's probably what is going on.
I think it's probably that.
That's probably it, even though they're 4-0. I mean, it's still, we're all 4-0. Like, they're probably feeling that way. And a lot of times, if you get, like, let's take last year, for instance. Everybody was very upset by a certain things that happened with this organization. And the media went in that direction. And the Cowboys front office and the team got defensive. Why are you guys talking about us in this way? We're going to be fine. And then they weren't. So I do wonder if, but is that our responsibility to keep them in check? Or is it our responsibility to just talk about what we see?
Yeah, and I think that
I'm not paid by the team.
I think it's, to a certain extent, your responsibility when you get the opportunity to ask some of the questions, but it's also your responsibility to your audience. So, like, if you're a beat writer and, like, your job is to get to the bottom of all of these things, I think that's probably more your responsibility versus ours. We want to get to the bottom of all of these things because we're born and raised here in the Metroplex.
Yeah.
And we want some accountability as well. But then sometimes you also have a responsibility to your audience. And if what they want to hear is something a little different, like, you want to try to entertain as well. So I think it's a delicate balance.
I walk in here and just, I don't look at it as I'm making my mission to inspire the Cowboys to win.
Yeah.
I don't do that. Now, there was a time when I thought I really had an opportunity, I had an effect on that. I really did. That I could ask questions that would inspire them to go in and say, you know what? Jerry's like, you know what, guys? Corey was right. I was embarrassed, and we're gonna fix everything. But now, I think more than anything else, my responsibility to my audience, our audience, I think, is just to be here for them and entertain them. And that's kind of what I come in here. I come in here to try and be as honest as I can about how I feel about what I see the team doing. And what I know, and I think the rest of the city knows right now about this team specifically, is they're not good enough.
Yeah.
And so we are at that point, and it's kind of depressing and hurtful and sad, and you want more from it, and we're looking for answers with them.
And from the 806, I agree with this, and they said, take the Rangers media, for example. They have one of the softest media teams in sports, and I think that that is true. I think I do sometimes wonder, had the Rangers, like, been held up to the same media critique over the years as the Cowboys, would that have fostered quicker change or more dynamic moves? Or I want to say it could, but I don't know that for a fact. In fact, I decided to really research this. I read an article in the Sport Journal, Does the Media Impact Athletic Performance? And one of their takeaways actually quoted a poet. So yeah, we're going all over the place on a Cowboys Monday.
Edgar Allan Poe?
No.
Right.
It was Arthur Guiterman. He said, the stones that critics hurl with harsh intent, a man may use to build a monument.
Okay.
First of all, I love that because it rhymes.
Rhymes.
But also, I do wonder if over the years, if, like, John Daniels, more people would have been tougher on him quicker, if that would have changed how the Rangers operate, or
the urgency to be moved faster.
Exactly.
You gotta make some more bold moves.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I'm not saying that those bold moves would have worked, but I do wonder that, like, with the Stars, there is definitely a part of me that thinks that the Stars moved on from their coach because of all of the negative media scrutiny that came away from not losing in the Western Conference Finals, but the whole Ottinger discussion debacle. Like, if that wouldn't happen, I don't know for a fact that you would have kept your coach, but I definitely think there's a hell of a lot higher chance that Gullitson would not be your head coach right now if it weren't for all of the media discussion. So sometimes that can be a good thing. Sometimes it can be too aggressive and be a bad thing, to your point with your amazing Philadelphia interpretation of they're one of the two undefeated teams and people are probably complaining this morning. But yeah, absolutely. Sometimes I think sports media and then by extension fan criticism can be a mechanism to get things changed quicker.
Well, and that's definitely part of, like, when I asked, and you hear the question dropped a lot, are you embarrassed? When I asked that, I felt that way. Yeah. The game that happened that night in that week, there was a Sunday, Thursday game. We were in on a Friday morning. I felt that way because of how the team had played. And so I just wanted to know if the owner GM felt the same way I felt, because I have expectations for this team. And so that was really why I asked that question that way. Well, Kevin, me as a fan, and I don't know, there are a lot of people, you talk about the Rangers. A lot of fans in DFW, if you're not performing at an elite level, we just ignore you.
Interesting.
Instead of criticizing at a high level, we just go, well, we're just not going to pay attention. And then the owner goes, well, crap, I don't want them to ignore the tickets and not be in those seats. That's what it is here. And we're not like Philadelphia where we show up and boo you in the first inning. You know, we're different people for whatever reason. And maybe that is the thing that scares them. Fear scares them into accountability to be better.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting that you say that, because for a lot of teams, it might be getting ignored. But the Cowboys are absolutely, they don't have to ever go through that. There's no such thing, it feels like, as real Cowboys apathy. I know we get texts from people who's like, I'm done with the Cowboys. And, like, fair enough. I'm not saying nobody does it. But big picture, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Cowboys still get the attention, for better or worse, whereas, like, the Stars,
the Cowboys
people
are
will forget about
them. Cowboys are a giant ocean, and half of the ocean is happy and half of the ocean is ticked off. That's what the Cowboys are. And you can, and guess what? Based on the win or loss, that ocean can be 75% happy or 75% ticked off. Like, that's just the way that it is with the Cowboys for whatever reason. Maybe we do need to be harder on them, Kevin. You know what? We'll start with Steven today. Hey, Ty's not good enough, Steven.
I bet that's what he'll say.
Okay.
And somebody brought up that they were booing after the third drive. Yeah, because that was like, was that the 3rd and 14 when they ran a draw play to Lifke? I would have booed that play call in the stadium as well. I instead booed my TV. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. We will keep it a buck. And so will Cam Ward. Next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
And
app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, and this segment is brought to you by Classic Chevrolet. If you're in the market to upgrade your vehicle, get to Classic Chevrolet in Grapevine. Back-to-back number one Chevy dealership in the world, they've got more new Chevys than anyone, and they're all priced to sell. Silverado, Tahoe, Blazers, Malibus, Equinox, and more. Visit ClassicChevrolet.com. This is Texas. This is Classic Chevrolet. Together, let's drive, relax, and enjoy the difference based on new Chevy registrations 2023 and 2024.
Cowboys are going to go for this. with 8:31 to play, and they're down four.
Undoubtedly try to draw them initially, draw them offside.
Fourth and two at their own 43. Let's see if they run the play. Fourth, oh, they're going to run the play. Snap is back, good block, steal. Prescott up in the gun, throws it over the middle, ball's caught. Caught by Pickens at the 45-yard line of Green Bay, a first down. Move the sticks, move the chains.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053. If you want to get involved in the conversation, the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorney text line or the Twitch or the YouTube right now. Let's go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip it and rip it.
And we start with Cam Ward because this is an objectively amazing quote. The Titans lost to the Texans 26-0. By the way, the Texans just traded Cam Robinson to the Browns for a late round pick swap in 2027. So that's exciting.
Good for them.
And Cam Ward after the game said, if we keep it at a buck right now, we're ass. And I love that quote because that is how a real human being talks. Sometimes you get these quotes that you're like, that's not how people talk. But
okay, how would that be?
Like my version of that would be, we effing suck right now. And so like that's his version of it, but that feels very human, very relatable.
I think it's Clayton Adams multiple times now has said, or maybe if we're being honest, he had some good plays and some that he'd like back.
Oh, sure.
And then that kind of that's the other way that we don't ever really talk like that. We're just like, man, I stunk today. Or that's how we really talk. So I got you. I see what you're saying there, Kevin. You're right.
He had several other captivating quotes, but he talked about how everybody's got to pick it up. And he goes, we have to, especially myself. So he wasn't saying like, you got to do better. You got to do better. He's like, I got to do better. But then also he goes, I just want to win. When's the last time Tennessee won? I don't know. Everybody in this locker room, we have to win. And I mean, that's the reason why they got the number one pick. But I appreciate that level of honesty, and he has to play better. He's right.
And that is, I know you say he has to play better. It feels like it's fallen on Callahan now.
Oh, yeah.
Because, hey, look, man, we gave you Will Levis, and you had these opportunities to do something. And now you have the number one overall pick, and we're still here.
Yeah.
And so what does that tell you? It's not just the quarterback. Maybe it is you. And so he's the one feeling the most pressure at the moment.
Now, this will be a potential positive. Michael Penix. Michael Penix and the Falcons defeated the Commanders 34-27. He threw for a career-high 313 yards and also had two touchdowns. So the roller coaster ride of the early stages of Michael Penix's career continue. And for the Commanders, I'm sure they would like to lean back on the fact that they didn't have
their quarterback
Jaden Daniels or Terry McLaurin, but like that defense still showed some serious issues yesterday.
Yeah, as we've seen in the past, we experienced it too. There are some holes in the Dan Quinn defense also.
For sure.
And Atlanta definitely found some of those and exposed them and took advantage of them. And my play of under 225 yards for Michael Penix, obviously, I lost that one, and that lost me my triple play or whatever it's called. Mm. So, unfortunately, that was bad for me.
Hey, he's talking about Underdog, where right now, use the promo code MASTERPIECE by tomorrow to sign up. Once you make your first $5 play, you get $100 in bonus cash.
Mm-hmm.
$100! That promotion ends tomorrow night.
I do wonder, with Penix coming from, he got embarrassed, and then Kirk Cousins came in, and there was some question there if it kind of kicked him into a higher gear to be like, man, I gotta get my S together, and I better be on ready for this next game. Maybe that was a helpful moment for him.
Yeah. All right, let's go from that to Stephon Diggs, 6 catches, 101 yards in the Patriots' dominant victory over the Panthers, which, by the way, Let that show you how much things radically change week to week. And Carolina just stomped all over the Falcons. And then what happens in the next week? The Falcons offense comes alive, and then the Panthers get buried. That ended a run of 22 straight games for Stephon Diggs, sub 100 yards receiving. And by the way, Mike Tirico thought that Stephon Diggs exchanged his jersey last night. At least that's what he said multiple times between before somebody, I assume, in the room or Trayvon? In his ear was like, it's Trayvon Diggs.
Yeah, it happens.
It does.
He's done that. Didn't he do that in the Thursday night game, the open season,
yes,
too?
Yes, he did. Let's talk about Geno Smith. Ooh, actually, you know what? I'm going to give you an option. Geno Smith, Aaron Rodgers, or Bad Bunny.
Oh, Bad Bunny. I don't know why I reacted that way.
All right. So multiple reports indicated before the announcement was made that Taylor Swift was in talks to be the Super Bowl halftime performer.
Nobody wants to see her on the stage.
No, they do.
Performing.
It would be an insane
ratings. I'd just rather see George Strait up there.
All right. We'll get to that. All right. But she turned it down per Sports Business Journal because she wanted to own the footage. And the league was like, no, we own the footage. We'll let you use it for things probably. But she wanted to own the footage and the league was like, no dice. And she's Taylor Swift. So she was like, and I'm going to pass.
Yeah, she would need express written consent from the NFL.
I don't know if that is how it works.
Copyright that.
I don't know if Taylor Swift needed to get express written consent of Fox and the NFL or whatever to get ownership of that. But there was a time, man, if you're a certain age, you know that for a fact. If you wanted to record those games back in the day, like, I don't know why, for commercial use, I think that's the idea.
I thought I couldn't even record on VHS. I would be in trouble.
There's even an old Family Guy
like
joke.
Like tearing the tag off your pillow.
That or your mattress. That's for the mattress factory people, not you. Tear away. But also, there's an old Family Guy joke where the FBI or whatever like bursts in and destroys his VCR because he did not have that express written consent.
That thing was like $30.
Instead, it's Bad Bunny. Now, here's what we need to talk about. If you say you don't know who Bad Bunny is, I need you to shut up. Just shut up.
What?
Shut up. Say you don't listen to any music ever then. Because even I know who Bad Bunny is, not because of wrestling. Bad Bunny has like 58 million followers on Instagram. Bad Bunny has sold the equivalent of 100 million albums in today's media landscape, and he gets 78 million Spotify listeners per month. All right? If you don't like Bad Bunny, that's fine, and you wish it was Bad Bunny and Brooks and Dunn. Okay, rock on. But just don't tell me you don't know who that is.
Dude.
Because the same people last year were like, I don't know who Kendrick Lamar is. Are they just taking anybody? Bad Bunny and Kendrick Lamar are like two of the biggest names in all of music.
Swaggy Booty says, who is Bad Bunny on the Twitch?
Stop it!
Is he like a cartoon character? Texas Size Rips. I'm with Texas Size Rips here. I know who Bad Bunny is, but I don't know. I can't tell you any of his songs. I'm sure I've heard his songs. I'm sure I've heard them.
That's okay.
But I also know this about Bad Bunny. Everything I've ever seen him do has been awesome.
Yes.
I've seen
including
him. You guys showed me some wrestling stuff of him. Awesome. I saw him in Bullet Train.
Yes.
He was fantastic. He's been in he was Shrek on Saturday Night Live, and it may have been my favorite bit I've ever seen. And that's for Saturday Night Live, who's, you know, falling off a lot. But there's a lot of good things that he does. He's a performer. Like, this dude is just a natural performer and maybe one of the biggest worldwide stars there is. I know Taylor Swift, one of the most recognizable stars in the world. That is true.
This is a hell of a
Bad Bunny's right there with her.
Yeah, this is a hell of an option. And I get it. There are people who want like a certain type of concert or whatever. That is not the demographic that Apple is shooting for, right? Like, because you always see,
we got to make the halftime show great.
Okay. I like
Bad
Bunny.
Like it was before.
And I also like Kendrick Lamar. And so I think his show is going to be fantastic. I'm just saying, if you don't like it or you wish it was like an old timey country act, I think George Strait would be awesome. But for the demographic that they're shooting for, especially the age demographic,
the NFL
this is the way to go.
They're shooting for pop.
Sure.
Because pop is the most, it's the most universal group and genre. It connects to everybody in some way, shape, or form. Now, if you're just a country music listener, you probably don't listen to a lot of pop.
Sure.
You have some pop country that you'll listen to, like Florida Georgia Line or Morgan Wallen, but not some, like, you're not really Hank Williams Sr., you know, that's not, they're different. And so, like, when you're dealing with pop, you're trying to get the largest pool of people happy. And yeah. That's basically what they've done. Go look at the list here. They've tried to go with pop acts because that's the most amount of people.
It is a weird world we live in where somebody who has wrestled multiple matches for the WWE is going to be the Super Bowl halftime performer and the president is in the WWE Hall of Fame. Like, that's a weird world that we live in,
dude,
right?
Dude, he was Happy Gilmore's caddy. He was so good in that.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
Where the KNC
he was the best part of the movie.
Whoa. Best part would have been a better editor, you know what I'm saying? We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones right here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.